Warning, this podcast contains discussions of an adult nature and sometimes a graphic nature. It's not suitable for children, strong language, and adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to this episode of The Witch's Grim. I'm here as usual with my co-host Lacey, but today we have one of our friends on the show. So everybody welcome Christy. So Christy actually lives in the Pacific Northwest and we decided we're going to do a little mini series on cryptids. So if you're not familiar with cryptids, they're basically the fae of the United States. Well, they exist all over the world, but we're going to cover specifically the ones that exist in North America and specifically try to keep it to the United States because there's so many that we could definitely get overwhelmed and this could be just our show. And we invited Christy on because Christy's basically a forest witch. She's often in the forest. Any chance you can get, right, Christy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So because of that, we thought she might have some fun, interesting stories to share about unusual creatures, things she's seen, feelings she's got, knowledge she has about, you know, her territory. And, you know, we'll kind of go from there. So we're going to just have some fun with it. So we're going to cover each of these little guys and then we're going to have a conversation about each one as we go. So hopefully you guys enjoy this episode. You'll have to let us know what you think of it. And if there's an area you'd like us to cover next, otherwise we're just going to make our way over to the East Coast as we go. So the first one that we're going to cover that is called a cryptid is Sasquatch. So many people may have heard of Sasquatch. Essentially it's Bigfoot. Back in the 1970s, it was late 1970s, right? Some guy captured this weird thing, kind of like meandering through some forest wooded area. Like usual, the quality of video was terrible. And, you know, people are like, oh, it's fake and all this kind of stuff, but he walks unusual. But basically, the indigenous people of the area, which is where many of these come from, their folklore and their beliefs and stories that have been passed down, and then obviously, you know, seen by the people who moved into the area and kind of corroborated by them. And so basically, he's a hairy bipedal creature who averages around 8 foot tall, has oversized feet. He's believed to be related to the Yeti of the Himalayas, which I can totally see. And he, unlike their snowy mountains, Bigfoots of the Pacific Northwest are relatively peaceful, according to this article. And we're actually going to hear from Christy, and she's going to tell us something a little different. The Bigfoots of the Pacific Northwest are not inclined to attack. And they are inclined to basically hide from prying eyes. If you're a child of the 80s like me, then you'll probably remember Harry and the Hendersons. And Harry and the Hendersons was a Sasquatch, and he was ginormous, and you know, he was a lovable creature. They're supposedly numbering in the thousands and throughout the entire Pacific Northwest. And there's actually been sightings of them all over the U.S., but I think they concentrate in that area. And they're supposedly communal. So they run in groups of 25, and they have a major connection to the forest and many of the animals and insects there. And there are times where the tribe may not be able to easily escape human eyes, dying elders, sickness, newborns, and probably deforestation is a factor as well. And so they will often enlist common disguises, essentially, to kind of make themselves blend in with the background. And so they enlist common denizens of the forest to also make life uncomfortable for humans. So they will enlist the help of skunks, mosquitoes, and other nuisances in order to kind of get humans to move out of their territory, which makes it kind of sound like they have psychic ability. So I don't know if you have anything on that, Christy. And it says, if humans seem to be getting too close to Sasquatch, it will attack in that case, usually at night. And supposedly, according to this article from addercap.net, they will use heavy clubs. And this is always a last resort. Any killings would be purely by accident. They would just be clubbing you, apparently, at 8 foot tall, probably with giant tree branches when you're a little puny human, because they're saying, basically, get the F out of my territory. So, Christy, you actually mentioned the Sasquatch in the very beginning of us discussing what we were going to talk about. So what do you know about it?
Yeah, totally. So, you know, in the Native American lore, especially like the far north Native American lore, the Sasquatch isn't really a friendly guy. So hairy man, or the hairy creature, is, he's kind of a bad guy, and he actually eats human beings. He's something really terrible to be feared. He appears in a lot of totem poles, carvings. And in those depictions, he's got these huge teeth and he's just like this big bad guy of the forest. But definitely have heard a lot about, you know, the ability of a Sasquatch to communicate telepathically with the environment around it. And it makes total sense if you, you know, the way that you follow animals and you see that even animals that are known beings like a wolverine, those have been believed to be extinct in Oregon. But then with modern technology, we've been able to determine, hey, they're actually in these areas that we thought they were long gone from because nobody ever sees them. So I absolutely believe that there's Bigfoot, Sasquatch running around and that we could completely miss them. I mean, if there's creatures that are known to exist and we can't find them, trying to track down this creature that has a superior intellect and an ability to communicate with the forest and hide and conceal itself, totally plausible.
I agree. And the reason I say that is because one of the things that I found as a child really fascinating about Harry and the Hendersons was when Harry goes back to the forest, when you first look at him, you just see him standing in the forest, but then all of a sudden you start seeing these things that seem to almost appear as if a vapor materialized, and all of a sudden there's other creatures standing there. And like you were saying, like, it's not like these wolves are necessarily trying, or other type of endangered species are trying to hide. They're not even like necessarily aware. They know that something is in their environment that they don't necessarily want to be around, but it's not like they're like conscious, like, these things, yeah, I don't want to see, let me hide myself and use these psychic things. Lacey, did you hear anything about Sasquatch? Was there anything that came up in your research?
Plenty, but I didn't really go over it because I knew that somebody else was going to, because that's, you know, I mean, it's Sasquatch. We have talked about him before, so I didn't really do any research about it.
Yeah, okay. So if you guys ever listened to a creator called Mr. Ballin, he likes to tell stories. He tells like these crazy stories. He'll tell all types of different stories. He'll tell stories about aliens. He'll tell stories about, you know, creatures. He'll tell stories about unbelievable incidences that have happened, you know, miracles that have happened. He'll even talk about like serial killers and things like that, but he always tells it in like a story fashion. And he actually talks a lot about missing 411, which we've talked a little bit on the podcast here and there as well. And very much creatures like the Sasquatch typically seem to come up in a lot of these missing 411 cases, where people will be in parts of the forest that aren't well mapped and aren't well like traveled by humans. And people will always talk about, and we talked a little bit about this in the Skinwalker Ranch, the Sherman's Ranch that we talked about in last episode. And they say they all of a sudden get this very overwhelming sensation of anxiety and like hair standing up on their neck, and they can't figure out what that's about. And I'm like, you have an apex predator, you are experiencing what prey feels. And then they talk about hearing weird talking back and forth, like as if something is communicating with something else. They'll talk about these like 8 foot creatures, like just coming out of nowhere and standing at the edge of the forest and watching them, especially at night. They'll hear things rustling, talking. I've heard people talk about how a child will be walking with them and the child will be lagging behind maybe just 2-3 feet. And then they'll notice that all of a sudden everything's quiet behind them. They're not hearing the child. They go to look behind them and the child's gone. And when you hear stories of people saying they saw the child later on, the child was being held by this furry biped that was walking the child through the forest and taking it places and not hurting it. But obviously something's weird about that. Like, why is this hairy man picking children up and like carrying them, you know, hundreds of miles away through the forest? And then, you know, it's just been like, there's different versions of it. I've even heard versions where this one guy said, and it's always, they take off their shoes and they fold their stuff neatly next to them. And he said, he suddenly got this urge to take off his shoes as if his feet were burning. He took off his shoes. He took off his socks. He placed them neatly next to him. He was just looking out. And all of a sudden he started to get this overwhelming anxiety sensation. And then he started smelling this really awful smell. Mm-hmm. And on top of this sensation. And he said he got the feeling he needed to go. And as he starts walking, all of a sudden he gets this feeling that he needs to look up in the branches of the trees. And that's when he sees one of them, and it is giant and it is just crouched on the tree branch and he is completely freaked out. So obviously he's like, I definitely got the feeling that I'm not messing with this thing. So he takes off running. When he realizes on the other side of where he's running, there is a second one. They are communicating back and forth now in like grunts and like, I think he even said like clicking noises. And he said that they're communicating that they are jumping from tree to tree at such an incredible speed. Like he's running as fast as he can. And even though they're in trees, they are keeping up with him. And even in some cases, he's terrified he's going to get caught by them. And he finally makes it to an area where it's more populated. And that's when they stop following. And he turns around and they're just gone. And it's not the first story that I've heard like that. You often hear it when it comes to these stories about hikers disappearing and people experiencing certain things around the area where a particular person disappeared. And we're probably going to talk about it a little bit more because Christy talked about it as well. And that's children disappearing, being picked up, going miles and miles and miles away, no mud on their shoes, not wet. They can't tell you how they got there. And so it's probably one of these cryptids.
You know, there's a place that's near here, and Lola, I sent you pictures from it, but the mm-hmm. Tide Creek where the trees are all twisted and gnarled and weird. And there was a kid that went missing in there, presumed murdered. His name was Corey Fay, and his clothing and belongings were found neatly folded, miles upon miles from where he was last seen. And he would have had to traverse like waist deep snow to get to where these clothes finally appeared, and were neatly folded up. And actually just last year when I was hunting in there, I actually had to stop and left an offering of like black salt. I prayed. It was just the most awful feeling, just eerie. My hair was standing up on my neck. There was no wind and the trees just started to moan, like a screaming moan. My husband, who I was with, was like, this is really, really weird. And I was like, yeah, it's really freaking weird. Like, let's leave an offering right now. I just want to get out of here. Like, you feel a presence that is different than the presence of even being near an apex predator. It is just the most uncomfortable feeling. And a few years prior, a similar thing happened a couple drainages over. There was this loud knocking on the trees, which is one of the things that people actually say they hear when there's a Sasquatch, is this wood knock. And it's like a clanking of like a club or a piece of wood against a tree. But same thing. And then this one particular tree started to like shake and moan. And I did stop and leave an offering and pray. And I actually went and took back some meat. I took back some tobacco and I just left it there. I try to stay out of that place. My brother said the same thing. It's a place you go in there and you just feel absolute terror. I mean, the hair stands up on your body. It's not a cool place to hang out. I respect whatever's in there. Don't want to work with it. Don't want to mess with it. It wants space and privacy, and I'm happy to give it.
Yeah, that totally sounds like what we were just describing with the Sasquatch, like the how they won't mess with humans unless you mm-hmm. enter their territory and you're getting a little too close. And it sounds like there must be one of these tribes of them nearby, and you guys are just getting too close and they're sending out the signals like, further. I got this club. Let me knock on a tree.
Not today.
Not today. That's fascinating. That's awesome. Yeah. So Christy sends me pictures sometimes when she goes hunting and stuff like that. And she'd be like, oh my gosh, this place is crazy. And she has sent me some pictures before that I'm like, full body chills just looking at a single image. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. Let's see, what's the next one? Bat Squatch. Have you heard of Bat Squatch? Christy?
Just today,
really? So my husband had heard of Bat Squatch because it's I guess Rogue beer comes from the Pacific Northwest, and my husband is a big fan of the Rogue brand, and they have a beer called Bat Squatch. So when I first looked this up, I looked and all of a sudden that's the first thing that came up. And I was like, I know my husband loves this beer company. Like, and I was like, have you heard of Bat Squatch? And he goes, the beer. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, of course, we've gotten it in our house before. And I was like, okay, just making sure. So this one is even more rare than the Sasquatch, although it is considered related to the Sasquatch. It's also related to the Arang Bati of Indonesia and Alu of Hava. And the Bat Squatch reside in the forest near Mount St. Helens. They are aggressive, even towards each other. Numbers of the Bat Squatch are extremely low. They are bipedal monsters of 9 foot height. They have bat-like wings that span up to 50 feet. Their feet and hands resemble birds' feet, hard and leathery with sharp talons, and the rest of their body is covered in a bluish fur, and their head resembles a yellow-eyed wolf with sharp teeth. The Bat Squatch primary prey on deer, elk, and coyotes. Hunting at night, they avoid bright lights. The few sightings of these creatures by humans have been due to them being startled by car headlights and attacking the vehicles. There are claims that the Bat Squatch may affect car engines, but such instances may be conflated or confused with Mothman attacks of West Virginia, and it seems unlikely the two creatures share the same powers or are related, but verification would require acquisition of both. I immediately thought Mothman. I immediately thought related to Mothman. I mean, they're both cryptids. So one's on one end of the United States and one's on the other end of the United States. I mean, you've got opossums or whatever that look different based on whether they're North America, South America, whether they're on the left side of the United States, the right side of the United States. So why wouldn't the same type of creature look slightly different, you know, that far apart? Different food sources, different climate. It's just slightly different climates. Yeah. So I said to Lacey, when we got ready to talk about this, I said, Sasquatch is terrifying all by itself, but you give it a foot taller lengthwise, and then you give it fucking 50 foot wings. And that is incredibly terrifying. No thanks. But there's also stories that I have heard told about people encountering this thing as well. And it will also be sitting in the branches, much like Mothman, and it will have glowing eyes. Often I've heard the story existing. One story I heard was a young girl, and she lived, I don't remember if it was a divorce. And so she moved into a house in a secluded area of the woods with her dad, or if the whole family moved there. But anyhow, she moved into this area And I believe it was this creature. So one night she is looking out her window of her bedroom, and because she had heard something, and there's a shed in the back of where she's looking, and she sees this thing that's sitting on top of the shed. And she is, you know, she's watching this thing. She's absolutely terrified. And then there's another night she sees it again. This time it's walking around the shed. And then there's another night where it's up in a tree and it's in the tree branches and it's looking at her into her bedroom. And so she's just watching this thing. She tells her dad about it. Her dad's like, oh, it's, you know, it's probably just some things in the night. Don't worry about it. Well, one night her dad leaves to go, I don't know if he went into town or he went someplace for work, and she was left alone in the house. And the thing decided to try to come into the house. So she ends up hearing it walking around on top of the roof. She hears it walking around the outside of the house. She hears it climbing up on the house. She can hear it jumping from like branches onto the roof, like huge distances. It's jumping huge distances onto the shed. So this thing tries to get into the house. And so there's just all of these sounds that are happening. She's absolutely terrified. She's hidden in the house. She's trying to keep from this thing from getting in. And eventually what she sees is, I think two of them start fighting, and one of them loses and crawls its way into the shed. And so she thinks, I've hallucinated. I'm seeing things. So she's telling her dad about this crazy stuff that happened and how terrifying it was. And again, he's like, oh, you must have imagined things. So she goes to the shed, because she's like, I'm going to prove that I wasn't dreaming, that this wasn't a nightmare, that I didn't make this up. And she walks towards the shed and she opens the shed, and something growls at her, and she slams the shed door and she refuses to go back to the shed. And then a few days later, every night she's watching this freaking shed from her bedroom window. And one night she watches as the thing that had crawled in there to heal walks out and walks into the forest, and they never hear from it again.
No.
Yeah. So there's just these like super crazy stories. And I imagined, like, can you imagine how terrifying? Because why would the two of them be fighting? Most likely because they're thinking they're going to get some meal, and they're fighting over who's getting the meal. And then you've got an injured one living in your freaking shed.
Burn the shed.
Well, the way I feel about it is, don't burn the shed like you did. Leave a fucking offering and hope that motherfucker never shows back up.
Go away.
Because they're obviously intelligent. So I'm not going to burn it, risk that those motherfuckers are watching. And now I've made an enemy of an entire tribe of cryptids.
You're on their hit list.
Exactly. I'm not fucking risking it. If a dream or not, it's getting a freaking offering. Yeah. Thoughts, ideas, stories?
I'm focused on the Crater Lake. I can't believe how many things are surrounding it. There's like, I didn't know it was like one of the deepest in the world, like the ninth deepest. So that's crazy.
Well, let's talk about Crater Lake then. Yeah, tell me about Crater Lake.
People see like serpents swimming around in there, and not even like Nessie, you know, Loch Ness monster, but like dragon looking. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's crazy. I know there's a lot of indigenous stories, you know, and lore about it. And sometimes when I read stories about it, I think of, have you heard of the forest in Japan? It's called Suicide Forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that. Because people
could see that
and alive themselves. There.
Are there really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tons. And they just feel compelled to do it. Like I was just reading one on a quick site that said that a husband and a wife were just out there camping, and then all of a sudden he just handed her his wallet and his watch, and then just continued to drown himself. Yeah.
I can't imagine how traumatic that would be to see your husband just walk away from you and then go drown himself. And you're like, get out of the goddamn water. You know, like you're trying to pull on them and weird shit is happening. And they're just like fighting you off to kill themselves. That'd be crazy. Yeah. So the forest in Japan, and it's probably the same type of thing. So I actually watched a movie. I'm not a huge fan of movies with subtitles. If the subtitles are in another language, I have ADHD. It's hard enough for me to read that fast to be able to gain the gist of what this person was saying. But they were talking slow enough. It was in Japanese, some of it. So there was a woman who had a twin sister. So it was an American movie, but it was a woman who had a twin sister. And
good. Yeah.
You've seen it?
Oh, yeah.
And fair enough. Her sister is in Japan. I think she's a teacher in Japan, and she's kind of like a wild one. She's like the wild one of the two twins. And the other twin is the one that like kind of keeps things in check, because when they were little, they supposedly saw their parents get hit in front of their house by a drunk driver. And the stable, like kind of sister didn't actually witness it, but the wild sister supposedly like watched it happen. And that's part of the reason she's kind of wild. And so this wild sister goes to Japan and she disappears. And when the stable sister's like, I'm going to go find my sister. I can tell that she's still alive. I just have this feeling. It's like a hum that exists. And when the hum stops, that's when I know that something's wrong with my sister. Like she must be dead. And I'm still feeling the hum. So I know that my sister's still alive and nobody's looking for her. I'm going to find her. So she goes and she's going into this area, which I guess you can like walk on the paths and they only let you go during the day. And they say that you never go at night. And the reason that you go at night is because if you have sadness in your heart, the forest will trick you. The forest will attach to that sadness and it will like emphasize that sadness and it will show you that sadness around you. So like at night, you'll start seeing and hearing people that aren't there. You'll start hearing people calling your name. You'll run out into the forest. And I guess it gets extremely cold in this area at night because it's way up in the mountains. So even in the summertime, the temperature drops really, really low. And so she ends up going in there with a guide that his whole job is like as a charity thing. He ends up like going and he'll walk and he'll jot down, coordinates where he sees people are hung up, like they've hung themselves so that they can come be collected and their families can give them proper burials. So that's what he does as like charity. So he knows the forest really, really well. So he ends up finding the tent of the sister. And it's this whole process of her actually staying in the tent and what she experiences while she's in this forest. And so I kind of feel like it would be the same type of thing. Like something's playing on you psychically while you're at Crater Lake. And it's basically telling you that, you know, if you have any kind of, like, it would be a terrible idea for me to go in there. If you've got any kind of sadness, if you've had any kind of trauma, it's going to amplify it. And next thing you know, you're going to be like, I don't know why, but I'm going to walk towards this cliff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just latches onto you.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting too, that there's the whole Native American belief that that was a portal to hell and that there's an evil God that's trapped in the lake and that the demons that serve him and the monsters that serve him live there. And that this portal to hell, you know, it's generating all of this bad energy and it's a space that's viewed with extreme superstition. So to hear modern accounts, contemporary accounts of people just unexplainably killing themselves there, it totally aligns with the native stories as well. don't know if you guys have ever had a chance to go there, but it is incredible. It is one of the most beautiful places in Oregon. I've got to go there a couple times and it's just absolutely breathtaking, but it's amazing because you're driving up, it was Mount Mazama. And when it blew up, it left the giant crater that goes down into the earth, and you're driving up this mountain. And then all of a sudden the earth just falls away and you're looking down into this huge abyss. And it's almost like you can feel the that void, that energy void of where the mountain's energy was rising up, and then it's all just collapsed and gone. And I think that there's something to that energetically as well. And, you know, lore aside, like there was this giant thing, it exploded, the energy drew back into the earth, and it kind of makes this vortex, if you will.
So I will try to avoid that place because of the stories, but I feel like, is this the same lake where the scientists have tried to figure out why things die in it? Is this the same lake?
I'm not sure.
Cause there's a lake that has the same type of thing where the indigenous have always said, stay away from it. And so, if animals get really thirsty and they drink from it, they'll die. Fish will die in it. So they can't explain it. I thought it was maybe the same lake, but
not sure.
Same type of thing.
There's a lot of alkaline lakes down there too. Mm-hmm. Just because of the soil. So it could be.
Yeah,
Lake Lanier.
Oh. Is that the same lake that's haunted with that was flooded with slaves?
Oh yeah. Where it's like built on top of the town.
Yeah, where they basically flooded the town while Black people were still in it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so there is a story where there keeps being tragedies and Black people keep saying, do not go to that area, do not go in the water. And part of the reason is because asshole white people decided that they were going to flood an area, and they didn't give the townspeople good information, or maybe these people just didn't have places to go and they just stayed. And so they just flooded the whole area. And so supposedly for like weeks and weeks and weeks, there was bodies rising to the surface and just like floating away. Yeah. So, it's got really horrible, like feeling when you go there, and like people say they feel like they're being, if they do survive, they say they feel like somebody was trying to pull them down into the water and stuff like that. Yeah. That's the same lake, Lacey? Lake Lanier?
It looks like there's quite a few. There's Lake Erie as well.
I thought it was Lake Lanier, but I mean, that's a totally different, like, we could do haunted lakes and stuff as another episode.
But. Yeah, for sure.
So Christy, you were saying something about Crater Lake, because we did talk about the missing 411, and you were saying that maybe there was something there associated with the area. Like you were saying, obviously that the indigenous population says that there's something connected to the underworld, or the lower world, or lower earth, as they might call it. And that it just takes children, and then children will just show up later on miles and miles away.
Yeah, there's tons of stories about that. And it's really strange. So kids will go missing and then they'll show up, you know, the next day, or an unreasonably short period of time to have traveled as far as they're found away. And they say that they were not taken by a human being. They're not taken in a car. They'll traverse over these huge mountain ranges that it's really impossible for a person, even a fit person, to like run across that distance in the amount of time. And then they just show up and say that they were moved there or carried there. There's a lot of really strange stuff down in the southeast corner or southwest corner of Oregon. The Oregon Vortex is down there. And at the Oregon Vortex, things will appear different sizes. It's like light bends differently within the vortex. That's a whole topic on its own. But I think it's more of that same strange energy where you don't know what kind of creatures or what kind of things from other dimensions might be passing through. Perhaps it is a portal. Just really weird.
So you were saying, Lacey, too, and is it also Crater Lake? Because we were talking about some of the animals or the cryptids that might be associated with Crater Lake. And so you said that there were serpents that were seen, and then there's is the Chelan, is it, or Chelan? Chelan?
Chelan.
Chelan. So Lake Chelan dragon is one of the creatures that's a cryptid. And so it's a dragon's egg was brought from Scotland in 1812 by Captain Chelan, according to folklore. When it hatched, it fled to the 55-mile-long lake in north central Washington, where it grew strong and healthy by eating the fish and the wildlife. There are rumors that mermaids aided the dragon's hatching and escape, but there are few further tales of mermaids in Lake Chelan to support that story. The dragon is a 30-foot-long beast with the body of an alligator, a serpent-like head, and ribbed wings between its legs. Unlike the dragon of Okanagan, am I saying that right? Lake Chelan's dragon does not parlay with humans and, as such, has no epitaph beyond its home lake. There are enough fish in the lake to keep the dragon well fed, and it rarely leaves the comforts of its depths. However, once in a while, it seeks new tastes and ventures onto land or extends its wings to soar. The dragon appears to be immortal and impervious to any harm. There have been tales of the creature being attacked with knives, rocks, guns, and even dragged into the fire, only for the beast to grow even more angry. So one of the things that I think about when I always hear people say immortal is there are fish, if I'm not mistaken, there are reptiles, there are amphibians that are able to asexually procreate. So basically they make clones of themselves. So I feel like the young ones would be the ones that venture out into those areas. Not the older one would be like, I know exactly where my hunting ground is. I know exactly where food is. I'm not exploring new tastes and new areas. That's something that one would do if they're young. You know what I mean? So I feel like this thing must be creating through like some asexual format, and it appears to be like immortal. You know what I mean? That's if you believe it. I mean, I'm coming up with like a scientific explanation on why this thing will appear for decades and hundreds of years, you know?
I think that's totally plausible. It actually makes a really logical explanation. And if you're looking at wildlife patterns and behaviors, what you're saying makes absolute sense. I mean, younger animals go venturing out. They kind of explore different territories. They have negative encounters with human beings or encounters with human beings, and older animals know how to avoid us and they know where to go to hide, and it makes perfect sense.
So what are some of the stories that you've heard about? Like, I know Lacey has a few stories that she found about the serpents and the stuff like that, that live in these lakes. And specifically we were talking about Crater Lake. So are there any there as well?
Well, the other one that comes to mind right away is Devil's Lake and the Devil's Lake Monster. And that one's like a giant squid. So Devil's Lake is a lake that exists near the ocean. It's next to the Pacific, but it's inland. And there's a giant squid that supposedly dragged down a whole boat, a boat full of people. And I can't remember what year that one was, but that's another ocean or water cryptid that's around the Pacific Northwest. And then the colossal, let me see what his name is. I had to write it down. Oh, Colossal Claude the River Monster. That was reportedly sighted multiple times in the Columbia River. And those are more modern tales. I think the last sighting of that was like in the late 1950s, but that's like a 40-foot long sea serpent type monster. Don't really know that Colossal Claude ever really attacked anybody, but just that people who were doing like commerce, guys in ships and stuff would see him swimming around in the mouth of the Columbia.
I feel like when you look at animals like sturgeon, and sturgeon can get enormous. And you hear stories of large catfish attacking boats and stuff like that. Like, I am really honestly not surprised that there is some weird fish or serpent-like thing that's just you know, running around lakes, just like slapping boats around, like, bitch, get out of my way. Like, I was here first. Or like little baby krakens, just like, hey, I'm here. Yeah. Like playing, like, hey, you guys feel weird. You know, like octopus do. And they just like, they start feeling on things and they have their little tentacles and stuff. What are you? Like a little baby. I'm just going to put you in my mouth. Ah, what does that taste like? And they're like terrified, like, ah! All over the place. And it's just this little baby kraken, like, this, what's this? I find all I believe that I've been to Scotland. I've been to Loch Ness. And I mean, the area is absolutely stunning. It is freaking magical in Scotland. I know exactly why England tried to take it or did take it. But yeah, I could totally, I mean, with how deep some of these waters are, I'm really honestly not surprised that we aren't sure what's down there. I mean, there's a new discovery of a new type of fish or a new type of sea animal every freaking day. I mean, it just doesn't get reported because it's not sensationalized like some things are, but yeah, there's new stuff every day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's crazy. Whoops. So part of the Pacific Northwest covers like parts of California and up into the southeastern area of Alaska, I believe. So we could talk about the Fresno Nightcrawler. Have you seen that?
No, but we did cover a cryptid, because just to go back real quick, as the lake supposedly helping mermaids helping this dragon escape. We've talked about mermaids that are specific to Alaska and the area in Alaska and stuff. So again, I'm not really honestly surprised that there would be these humanoid creatures that would not be very beautiful and mostly terrifying that would live in these waters and be like, get this poor little baby amphibian away from the monster humans and stuff like that. But what was it that you were, the Fresno what?
They're called Fresno Nightcrawlers. But real quick, there is another Bigfoot type creature in Alaska that isn't talked about very much. It's called the, I'm going to slaughter this, Nantinak. So it's like a Bigfoot / Yeti type creature. And it's mostly seen in, let's see here, Savannah's awake, by the way, and she heard us on the podcast, so she's just sending me all kinds of stuff. So it's by Homer or Seldovia, and there's an abandoned town there called Portlock, or also known as Port Chatham. And this area has been home to the Sugpiaq. That is their indigenous people of that area. And in Juneau, Alaska, there were a lot of deaths around the 1930s, and it was all because of this Nantinak. And it said that started happening really bad around the 1920s, where there were wild yarns of a creature said to walk on 2 feet hunting the nearby chromium mining camp. There were also reports of trees that were completely ripped out of the ground, turned upside down, and thrust back into the ground with their roots facing upwards into the air. So it ripped trees out of the ground. I'm sure it was like, I don't know, just like, you know, with the things in the water, you know, what are you doing in my area? It's like, why are you in my house? You know, throwing things around, maybe throwing a tantrum of sorts, like get the hell out. And then they didn't. So they kill him.
I mean, yeah, it makes me wonder what compels something to rip a tree out of the ground and then put it back in the ground. But that would definitely be an intimidating / markation of territory type thing. Like when, is it bears that will scratch trees to mark their area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. And then Fresno Nightcrawler, is that the big giant worm?
It's like a big, tall alien thing that looks like they call them. What do they call them? They call them ghostly pants because they literally look like they are a pair of pants that, but on the top, it's just like a round, you know, whatever. And they don't have arms. They're just down to their sides. So it's almost like, you know, those clothespins, those old wood clothespins. Like that's what I think about. Yes. That's what I think about every time I read about these because it's like a giant clothespin walking around. I don't know what they do, but they have been caught on like security cameras and stuff quite a bit.
So basically, you know, when people put on sweatpants and they put them all the way up to their neck and then they just have their arms and their legs and their head, it looks like that. They are bizarre looking and
very.
And what was the deal with them?
They're very, very tall.
Yeah, there's all kinds of pictures of them.
I actually just saw a documentary about these like a few days ago and saw where the guy had said he captured one on camera and it's slightly off camera and a deer comes running through and then he found where the deer had been eaten. But some people believe that those are like peaceful animals and perhaps it was trying to like protect the deer from a different predator. So there's like there's different lore on those. And I don't actually think those are supposed to be nefarious, right?
Right. Yeah. They seem pretty peaceful and like everything that they catch on them, they're just kind of walking around. It's almost like they're just patrolling the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're fascinating. They're so weird looking, but in like an awesome way. But yeah. Yeah. So the sweatpants thing with your hands down inside the pants, that's a good description. I definitely think of them as like walking clothespins because they, that's what it reminds me of. It's got a little knob.
So you guys go Google right now, go Google Fresno Nightcrawler. It is freaking hilarious. They look like somebody dressed up. I've also seen people who will take one of those like they're almost like bag suits that people use to it's like autistic people and people with sensory issues will wear these big suits that are almost like a bag and it gives a little bit of weight and pull to your limbs so that like when you're using it and stuff, it kind of makes you feel a little bit more grounded. And I've seen people like blow them up so only their heads are sticking out so that it kind of also kind of looks like that, but without arms. They're just so bizarre looking. It's so interesting.
It's like the 1950s cartoon ghosts. You know, they sprout legs and then like walk around. Like, I love it.
Or like, isn't it Fantasia where the mops all of a sudden they separate themselves down into like legs and they start walking around. That's kind of what the bottom half of them looks like. There's no feet. It's just like they kind of like taper down into like a point, and then they're just there. So
they're just there.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I would be curious because you guys said that they're not. Like dangerous, they're not aggressive, they're not nefarious. Like, so what are they protecting people from? What was overpopulated in that area in the 1950s that we saw so many more of them than usual that it was trying to protect us from? Make things that make you go,
My favorite video of them, right? My favorite video of them is, like this guy was, you know, kept catching one on his security camera. And then one night here it comes and a little baby one comes right behind. It's like really short. I know you need to find it. It is so funny. I love it.
I have to Google this because that sounds too adorable not to look up. So there's two creatures that I'm going to talk about that again come from the indigenous folklore. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the Gumbaroo. So it was reported by lumberjacks in the 19th and 20th centuries. The Gumbaroo almost looks like a large fat bear. However, the creature is completely hairless, except for large eyebrows and a bristly beard. The creature has thick, leather-like skin, dark and smooth, and the skin is extremely dense and thick. Bullets are often reflected and cannot penetrate the monster's hide. Oh, the only weakness of this bear-like creature is fire, a dangerous weakness for attackers in the thick of the woods, especially during dry summer seasons. The Gumbaroo are insatiably hungry, and they will eat any and every living creature that they encounter. Even eating an elk or bear will not curb their appetite. Fortunately, they only leave their lairs a few times a year to eat 2 to 3 days and then return to their dens in the bases of burnt out cedar trees to hibernate. So I looked up
this. This is the one where it says it like wakes up and is just like ravishing. Like it just eats anything that's meaty that it can get its hands on.
Yeah, there's the two Gumbaroo. Creatures. There's two creatures like that. One of them that I'm going to completely butcher. So I apologize to the indigenous population in advance, but it's called the Backsback Wallanoo-Uxiwe. Backsback Wallanoo-Uxiwe. I don't know. The monster known is this Backsback lives in a remote cabin in the far northwest corner of Washington. His house is covered in red cedar bark. So apparently there's something about cedar, and blood red smoke pours from the chimney. This creature and his house have existed shortly after man first fished and is now known as the Salish Sea or the Salish Sea. The Backsback may have once been a man, a cannibal who ate his own kin and was cursed, but the creature is no man now. It appears as a hairless, bear-like human, covered in bloody mouths that all cry out, hap, 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 hap. The cannibal at the north end of the world, as he is known, has many helpers, an extension of his will. The Quominaga appears as a human wife, welcoming in strangers who happen by his home. His servant, Kinqualala, also appears human and will prepare meals and help entertain the guests, making them comfortable. The soon-to-be victims will be well-fed and entertained and lulled to sleep by the food and warmth of the cabin. Meanwhile, the creature will then enter and devour his prey. There are all tales that the cursed creature was betrayed by the Quaminaga and killed by humans, but this was simply a ruse to distract the indigenous peoples from actually killing him. In place of his body, he gestated and created an ogre and sent it in his place to be burned by humans in a pit. Every few generations, the Backsback will have to create another ogre to be killed by humans so that he can continue his life. So this feels like our
killed and like they kill him and then he comes back. Regeneration. No.
He basically creates like a decoy.
Ah, okay.
So he sends out a decoy that can then be killed, and then people leave him alone for a while until they realize, oh, he's not dead. And then, you know, sightings of him, and he kills enough people. And then they're like pitchforks and
torches,
clubs and fire and stuff like that. We're going into the forest. Yeah. And he'll create another ogre. He'll create another Shrek, and he sends Shrek out, and then Shrek gets murdered. And then he goes back, probably, you know, stays back for a little while. He sounds like Baba Yaga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm wondering if his cabin
very
moved.
Much.
So he's the upper west corner of Washington. So basically right across from Russia, right?
The northwest corner of Washington. Is he really?
Yeah, because the peninsula comes up right through Alaska and then down. So
oh,
it's
yeah,
not
that's
geographically
very close
actually all that far for Baba Yaga, right?
No.
Right.
Yeah. It's because yeah. Because right. Didn't we have the Bering Strait that went across there and it would create that land bridge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
Wouldn't that be very interesting if it was like a cryptid, like I believe Baba Yaga was a goddess, but this guy could have been a god at one point, just like Baba Yaga was a goddess.
Maybe it's not a male. You said it gestates a new one. Or maybe it's a male capable of gestation, but that's really interesting too. Like perhaps it's been misrepresented.
You know what? Yeah. Fucking gender norms, man. People assuming that it's a male because it's got mouths all over its body and it's huge.
And it's a badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he said, because they say that this other creature appears as a human wife, welcoming in strangers who happen by his home. And then he has a servant that also appears human. So they're assuming because there's a woman involved that he must be a male. And because he's ginormous and he's got mouths all over his body, it could totally be a female.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep.
Or it could be a male. You know what I mean? There could be, it could be one of the old gods.
Yeah. Yep.
Ooh, tell us what you guys think as you guys are listening to this.
How do you spell this?
Oh God. Okay. You guys, you ready for the spelling? It is spelled B A X B A K W A L A-N-U-X-S-I-W-A-E.
That'd be a great password for an absolutely unhackable account.
Sure freaking would.
You're not lying. If you can remember it.
That's where they came up with the idea. Must be 16 characters and not be a real word. Yeah, what's up with cedar? Apparently, it sounds like be careful around cedar trees, especially in the Pacific Northwest. You might happen upon a cryptid and it might want to eat you.
So
I can't
like to.
Oh, that place that I was telling you guys about that's extremely, extremely dense energy, very haunted. That's called Cedar Creek. And it's called Cedar Creek because it was loaded with these huge cedar trees, and some of them were logged. And some of them were left alone. And when you're in there, you're in the presence of these magnificent cedars that are just, I mean, they're absolutely huge. And the energy from these trees is just completely overwhelming, just the trees themselves, because the healing energy and like the magical powers of a cedar tree.
I'm seeing a connection.
Yeah. Never put two and two together on that one. I never even thought about that.
So it's possible that you either were, you could have been in the presence of the Gumbaroo or that other, I'm going to call him the Backspock because I can't pronounce the rest of it. But can you imagine that you all of a sudden hear something sounds like that? And it walks towards you and it's a hairless bear-like human covered in bloody mouths.
No.
There's a lot of things that would make me freak out and run. And this is definitely one of them.
Yeah. I think that you would definitely question your life's decisions at that point.
Yeah.
You'd also question your eyes.
Fate? Like.
Yeah. But I mean,
right?
you'd Of all the
really
things
goodness.
Here, the Gumbaroo, you would be like, that is a fucked up looking bear. This is what you would think. You were like, that bear is twisted. Something, there's some this is a lake that has toxic waste in it that has fucked up the animals in this area. You would still think it was an animal though. But the Gumbaroo, I've seen pictures that actually put a normal sized human next to him. So I'm assuming it was a woman. So I'm assuming the average woman's height in the United States is about 5'4". So you've got a woman who's 5'4", and this thing towers over her. So not only are you hearing these like mouths opening and closing and making this noise, and it's hairless. I mean, if it is a man, I mean, it's terrifying to have just a regular dude naked coming towards you, but one covered in mouths that's like 10 times taller than you would be especially terrifying. Yeah.
Sick.
Naked man in the forest. Run!
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Running towards you, penis just flopping around. That would definitely make me run in the other direction.
No, that that's scary too. Yeah.
Terrifying.
The only way to make it go away is to tell it, oh, it must be cold outside, and then it shrivels down and it's not a harm anymore. It's not scary anymore. Ugh, it just melts back. You hurt his ego.
It hurt his ego.
Anyway, there's a few more creatures, but I don't know how long we want to make this episode. So what do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more that we could talk about. There's another lake monster in Lake Tahoe. We could go on for a while.
Well, maybe Christy will come back for another episode. Overlap.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be fun. There's something called the Dark Watchers of California.
Ooh, that sounds creepy AF, man.
And people just report seeing like really, really tall, dark figures that are standing at the top of the mountain, and they just like, it's like, they're watchers. They literally just watch everything. But when people get up to them, they just vanish. Nobody can ever get close enough to like describe them more than that. They're very tall, dark figures. Can you hear that?
A little bit. It's
fine. Hear the lawnmower? Okay. Anyways. Yeah.
All right. Well, awesome. I think we covered some really awesome creatures. You guys in the comment section on Instagram or, you know, wherever you want to get a hold of us, tell us what you think of this. Is there a creature that we didn't cover from this area that you want us to cover? We can definitely invite Christy back and we can cover one of these creatures, maybe the creatures that Lacey was just talking about, because that sounds so creepy. And maybe we talk a little bit more about the Fresno pants. And they're cute little babies. As always, you know, let us know what you guys think. We would love to hear your stories. If you've ever had any encounters with any of these things or creepy situations, that you've encountered in this area in the forest. And that's all we've got for today, guys. Thanks again. We love you. Thank you so much for the support as always. We'll catch you guys in the next episode. Bye. Oh, hello and welcome to The Witch's Grimm. Stories and education with a witchy twist. If it's weird, we want to talk about it. So pull up a broom, holster that wand, and get comfy, because we're about to get started. Alright, witches and witchlings, that does it for another episode of The Witch's Grimm. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it with family and friends, or head on over to whichever platform you're listening on and leave us a 5-star review. We post new content every Friday. If you'd like to stay up to date or engage with us, you can head on over to our Instagram or our Facebook, or leave an audio comment on our Anchor app, where we might feature you in a future episode. And if you'd like to further support this channel, head on over to Patreon at patreon.com/thewitchesgrimm. Until next time, witches and witchlings, keep making magic.